It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. Unless maybe you're a Laker fan. It is time to skip the BS. Time for Undisputed. It's time for Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson and I to dive deep into what happened last night in Denver. What a down-to-the-wire battle this was. What a great playoff game it was to watch, unless maybe you're a Laker fan. Inevitably, it came down to Jamal Murray, who delivered the game-winning jumper just as he did at the end of Game 2 in Denver. Only this time, the coaches, the training staff, the Nuggets, did not want Jamal to play on a strained calf. Not only did he play, he led both teams with 32 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter and including 9 in the final 4 minutes, and including dunking over LeBron James with about 4 minutes left in the game. So this will be forever remembered as the Jamal Murray strained calf game. Here were Jamal and Coach Mike Malone right after the game.
I don't want to sit. You know, I think the training staff, they're just really cautious with it. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want it to get worse. And I was like, I'm not going to leave my brothers out there. I got a little emotional in the back because I was like, I'm not sitting. I don't care what it is. We got to figure out. And I'm just thankful that they let me play, and I was able to get this opportunity to actually put that ball in the hoop.
The conversation before the game, without getting into too much detail, was an emotional one about him playing tonight. And as he just told me, he goes, I'm glad I played because I don't know if we win if I don't play tonight. I said, well, that's the understatement of the year.
Man.
Whew. I mean, you see why chills. I didn't want to play yesterday when y'all gave me the news of the potential injury and questionable. That's why I didn't want him to play.
That is it. Okay, Paul, tip is off here. Was Jamal the biggest reason the Nuggets won this game and closed out the Lakers?
I mean, not the biggest, but definitely a huge piece because of the two games he won down the stretch. But just top to bottom, Skip, Denver is just more talented than the Lakers. They execute down the stretch, obviously, in close situations, and that's what teams who won championships do. They understand who they are. But I will say this about the Lakers. I'm looking at the way AD played and the way LeBron played in this series. If they had to play any other team in the playoffs, they would have won the series, I believe. I mean, you don't get no better than what AD did. I mean, if you tell me, if you don't look at the scores and you say AD averaged 28 and 15 in this series, Bron averaged about 26, 5 and 8, and you got 17 from Reeves and about 13, 14 from D'Lo, well, you'd be like, oh, that's a recipe for success. Mm. But because it's the defending champs who are, you have to outplay them clearly for 44 minutes. Because if the game is close, we all see what happens down the stretch with Jamal Murray and Joker. So it's just showing me that this team is not rattled by leads. This team is not rattled by star power. They're the champs, and they go out and show it each and every night. It's tough to beat them at home. And when I look at Jamal Murray and he says, I had a strained calf. And when you look at the playoffs, I see Kristaps Porzingis has a strained calf. He sat out. He's out rest of the game. Seems like Giannis might not even play this year in the playoffs with a strained calf. Did they say Dame Lillard had a strained calf, too?
No, he's got Achilles.
Oh, his is Achilles?
Whatever.
Okay. But this just shows me what type of person that Jamal Murray is. And the reason that we will see Denver back in the finals this year because a guy like him who's your leader goes out there for his team in a game to where they're saying, we need this game. Can you step up one more time? You'll get some rest. We don't want to fly to L.A. And he got the job done just when they needed. So that shows me the championship pedigree that this team has. And it just shows me a level that they're on mentally, that they're just tougher than a lot of teams in this league. And yeah, they'll see Minnesota, which is it should be a pretty good matchup. I like the matchup, but I just think the experience of the Denver Nuggets is going to be too much for them. And nobody's talking about Michael Porter Jr. This is your third option who averages 22 points a game.
It's big.
That's huge. On 48% from three, 55 from the field. Not too many teams is going to beat you when your third option is doing those type of numbers. So hats off to the Denver Nuggets. And I brought something for Keyshawn today. Mm. You know, I know he likes green.
Yeah.
It's a
green. Who's your daddy green.
Who's your daddy T-shirt. And Celtic green with who's your daddy on.
Man, okay. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. There you go, bro.
Y'all not out the weeds yet either, but anyway.
That is a fact.
Yeah, even though y'all won the game, y'all not out the weeds. Y'all got to finish the deal up in Boston before you getting there and not winning. You come on now. You satisfied with getting there and not winning? Because right now, if Boston is going to get there, they're going to have to beat Denver.
I thought we was talking about the Lakers.
No, right, but you started. You started with me.
I thought we was talking about the Lakers right
now. Yeah, because the last time Denver saw Boston, Boston went home with an L. Just saying.
I thought we was talking about
anyway, the Lakers. Skip, you say, I think your tee-up was the biggest reason the Nuggets won this game?
Was it Jamal? Is that the obvious reason, or was it?
It's obvious, right? Yesterday, you mentioned that he wouldn't play potentially. He had a little deal going on, and I said, good, because I'm rooting for any opportunity to have my Lakers extend the series. I knew if he played, it was going to be rough. You know, you're never going to root for an athlete as a fan or even as a player to be injured, right? But at the same time, if he gives us the edge because he's hobbled, which is okay, I'll take that. I'll take hobbled. But he wasn't hobbled. He wasn't hobbled, especially in the fourth quarter. When he knocked down the two threes in the fourth quarter, and then he was 5-9 in the fourth, gave him 12 points. I mean, it just...
What quarter was that right there? That dunk.
That was fourth.
Ooh, he didn't shrug his shoulders, did he?
Yeah. He did.
That's usually what I see LeBron do.
He shrugged his shoulders, and Jamal Murray was on a mission, though, Paul. I mean, he was literally on a mission, and you could tell based on him playing in the game. He says, hey, I'm going to play, so I'm going to come out here and give my all. Now, if you want to start to dive into other aspects of the game, I don't believe, and I hate to dive on coaches, but I don't believe sometimes coaches, they make these mistakes, or not necessarily mistakes, but they do things that will not necessarily cost you the game, Skip, but it contributes to costing you the game. And I think Darvin Ham is guilty of that at times throughout this game. When you look at the challenge early in the first quarter, okay, do I be smart like Mike Malone and never challenge, even though my guys are telling me to challenge? Yeah. And I get these timeouts later on.
That was an Austin Reeves challenge. And obviously, at the end of the last game that the Lakers won, LeBron threw a fit, and he didn't challenge.
And he kept the two timeouts in his back pocket.
It was up 15, though.
I understand that, but it's certain things he asked about why.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray was the main ingredient, but there's other factors that contributed to the loss.
The second challenge came with 3:05 left, and they lost their last
game. Yeah, exactly. Second challenge comes on the block to Jokic. So now we win that,
but
we don't have a timeout to get to midcourt, you know. And even prior to that midcourt debacle, I'm sitting there in my living room, and I said to myself, I'm like, damn, we ain't got no timeouts. How we going to, if they score, how we going to be able to advance it? There's nothing we could do.
Right.
And so, in the end, there's so many different contributing factors to why we lost the game. Anthony Davis gets hurt, And then all of a sudden, he's a different player. He's running down, up and down the court with an arm, you know.
What happened to Anthony Davis?
He got poked in the whatever, man. They brushed up against him.
I know he bumped shoulders.
They brushed up against him. Mm. And he fell to the ground.
I was just like, what, did they say it was like a stinger or something?
I think it might have been based on them putting the heat on his shoulders on what the camera said. Yeah. So, look, in the end, Skip, this was a Jamal Murray, like you said, calf strain game.
It was.
And then how could, for the life of me, he brings the ball up the court. They run the same cap that they ran on us the first time he hit it on a fake pick and roll. And then he just keeps going. AD's caught in between.
The first one went to the right, and this one went to the left.
To the left. Okay. And now, Skip, he's caught. AD's caught in between.
Yep.
Do I slough off on Joker Fool? Because if I do that, he's going all the way to the cup, and he probably going to dunk on Reeves and LeBron again. Or do I make him pull up? So the lesser of two evils, I made him pull up. He knocked it down. 3 seconds to go. We don't have a timeout. We lose the game.
I mean, I think the way the fourth quarter was going, you got to get the ball out of Murray's hands.
You had to.
You have to. I mean, I know you're leaving Joker open.
But I honestly say I like what Mike Malone was doing as a coach, though, in certain situations. Even though I'm not a fan, I like what he did. I do. I like what he did as a coach.
He is in control of his team.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here I go. I've told Keyshawn this. I'm going to tell Paul this now. In my career, and it's been a long career, the biggest issue I've had in trying to analyze basketball, football, baseball, whatever, is how hurt is a player? Because you don't know, and you don't know, and even in your wheelchair game, nobody knew exactly how hurt you were. Mm-hmm. I still do this moment. I don't know how hurt you were, but you got up and you finished.
Right.
And you won the game.
Right.
All right, so last night, pretty early in the third quarter, it's 10:56 left. So it's like 11 minutes are left in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers are up 6 points. And AD just banged shoulders with Michael Porter Jr. And it looked like nothing to me. It looked like the kind of play that happens like almost every play down the floor.
Seriously. I mean, you bang shoulders every time
down the floor. Like, this happens literally every possession of every NBA game. That kind of play happens. And AD goes down like he got shot, right? And he stays down, and I think he is really, really hurt. But I don't know. Because I don't know, right. And neither do you guys know exactly what he was experiencing at that point.
No.
I've always said, I think I told Keyshawn this, I wish I had some machine whereby we all could put our hand in it for like 30 seconds and feel exactly what AD was feeling at that point. And maybe Keyshawn would say, that's nothing. Or maybe Keyshawn would say, or Paul would say, God, he can't go.
In defense of Anthony Davis, and I'm going to try to build a case for him in this situation, on TV, as you know, Skip, it's a lot slower than in person.
Yeah.
Those dudes are big. Paul's big, man. Running into Paul, he's a big dude.
He's a full 6 feet, 7 inches tall.
He's full 6 feet, seven. Yeah. Them dudes are bigger than Paul.
No.
So when they running into each other on TV, I'm being honest, though.
Yeah.
On TV,
I understand.
It's not as fast as in person.
Okay, I
that
got
bang, bang hit for a guy that's not really expecting it, that's not clutching himself, embracing himself, could be severe enough to where he falls on the ground like he just got shot.
Anthony Davis has too many cases of this.
I understand.
A long history of these types of moves.
That, Skip. I'm just trying to defend him.
I understand.
In this case, maybe he deserves to be defended. You know?
I don't know. But I do know this. Jamal Murray was told by his medical staff, you just can't risk it tonight.
Yeah.
Let's save you for the next game.
Yeah.
And he says, I got to be out there with my brothers because if I don't go out there, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
And he was correct. They would have lost without him, clearly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet here's AD, and to his credit, because he fought through a lot of injuries, and you brought up the stat all year long, he played. He played and he played. But this was a case where you need to me, this is my outside in perspective.
I understand.
You need to suck it up and show your teammates, I'm coming back with a vengeance now. I'm going to take this game over. I'm going to fight through this. And instead, he did come out on the floor and he goes and stands in the corner with his arm down for the first couple of possessions.
Yeah,
his arm's and he's running up the floor and he's dragging his arm with him. And he becomes a liability on both ends of the floor.
But we got to have him on there because Jackson Hayes.
He was overmatched. When Jackson Hayes came in, Joker's just toying with him.
He didn't even look like he knew what he was doing,
He had no idea. He had no idea. So I'm with you. You'd rather have him out there than not.
100%.
But he actually became a liability on both ends because he couldn't move.
He couldn't
lift his arm, his stinger, whatever it is, above his shoulder.
But sometimes having guys like that standing around as cardboard cutouts like in an aisle at a grocery store makes all the sense.
It's all you got at that point.
It's all you got.
Okay, and to LeBron's credit, he sucked it up and reached down at that point and tried to save the game.
He did. Yeah.
But it was unsavable because you're playing 4-on-5, basically, for the rest of the third quarter. And I look up, and lo and behold, the 6-point lead becomes a 5-point lead for Denver with a minute left in the third. And they went on a run where they detonated or re-detonated the crowd.
Yeah.
And I said, the Lakers just lost the game because of that quote-unquote injury. Whatever it is, I don't even know. It's a stinger. That's how they described it.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, that's where you lost the game because it's going to be hard to fight them off because they're too good in the fourth quarter. And you held them off in the fourth quarter. At least you played them even, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 27 all in the fourth quarter. But you lost it through that stretch right there where you got outscored where it goes from your 6 up to their 5 up. And it's going to be hard to play uphill against Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter. He's just too good. He is the flip side of LeBron, because if you look at his numbers for the 5 games, they're not very good. He shot for the 5 games, he shot 29% from 3. He was 10 of 34. All I can remember is him making big shots down the stretch because it's the flip side of LeBron, where for 3.5 quarters, 3 3/4 quarters, LeBron is just unstoppable. And then down the stretch, would you rather have a Jamal or LeBron? Well, in this series, Jamal's just a little bit better than LeBron closing these games.
LeBron walked into that 3 and knocked it down.
He did.
I thought we was cooking.
He did
some
good
things. Then he tried it again. I'm like, man, come on, man. Yep. Don't do it again to me.
Okay. And then he tried another one and hit nothing but backboard.
That's why I said I didn't.
Okay.
You're tripping now.
Okay. But to LeBron's credit, down the stretch with 26 seconds left, he put his head down and drove it because I always say, they can't stop him. Right. Nobody can stop him.
He should have been fouled on one of them.
I understand. He should have been fouled. But he was fouled with 26 seconds left. And to his undying credit, he went to the free throw line and he ripped them both. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the game is tied. But you know and I know the inevitable is about to happen. Austin Reeves plays his tail off, especially on the offensive end, but he can't guard Jamal because you know why? I'm not sure many people can guard Jamal in the fourth quarter. He is hard to guard.
But that's another reason why he's not on the Lakers to guard him, though. That's not why he's on the Lakers, because he's the guy who can guard Jamal Murray.
But you know what? On the shot that won the game, Austin Reeves gets picked off and he takes a hard shot from Joker, but then he actually recovered. I thought his contest was good.
I thought that was about as good as defense as you could play on that play.
Austin Reeves got a hand up. He was all over him.
Again, if AD doesn't slide to the middle, he dunks that going away.
Well, sure.
He going to yam that on him going away. You know that.
Jamal Murray going to dunk this?
He going to dunk it all day long because LeBron ain't in position to challenge him. By the time he get in the air, look at that, Paul. By the time he going to accelerate. Yeah. If AD doesn't slide and slough off on the Joker right there.
The man's been going off all quarter. You have to do something different.
He going to accelerate right at the dot and dunk that thing.
I mean, he done hit a 3. He done hit a layup. He done dunk. You got to get the ball
Austin
out of his
Reeves
hands.
Came real close to getting fingertips on ball.
I'm serious.
He would have been okay. AD allowed him to get back in it by sloughing off. If AD stay on Joker, Jamal Murray going right to the cup.
Well, I got it. He did it again. He put you in a precarious situation.
As soon as it was in his damn hands, I knew he was going to knock it down.
All right. But I still say, if AD does not get hurt, if he doesn't bang shoulders, I think you're going to win the game, and I think he might win it going away.
I agree because AD's change, he was more aggressive prior to the shoulder injury and even going at Joker.
Right.
He was more aggressive.
Well,
once he got hurt, It just changed everything.
Help me out here. How many points did AD score in the second half? How about one?
One.
He scored one point. He made the one free throw.
He took one shot. Zero.
He took one shot. Okay, help me out. If he can just give you 5 or 6 points, are you going to maybe win? And now to your challenge issue, and we'll get to Darvin Ham a little later in the show, whether he's going to be back next year. But the point is, if you don't challenge there, you really can't challenge there. I know you're trying to give in to your players, and you got AD out there.
You're talking about in the first quarter.
No, 3:05 left. It's the one where you got to save your last timeout for a shootout.
No, I understand. I understand that. But my whole point behind this, Skip, is I'm not challenging at the start of a damn game.
Well, there you go, too.
Why am I challenging at the start of the game?
No.
Okay, so you get 2 points.
You were correct on both of them.
Yeah, but I don't know. But it's the start of the game.
I understand. And yet, with 3:05 left, and I thought that was a debatable challenge. I was surprised they won the challenge because I thought AD would just fouling the hell out of him with his body and push and shove.
That was a block.
Man, I didn't
see. He wrapped his arm around him, but not to the point where it changed his shot.
Well, they won and they lost. It's like
that's my point.
You won the battle and lost the war because, listen, if they had had a timeout to inbound with 3.5 seconds left from their end, I like their chances.
I like their chances.
I just do. I think somebody, maybe Austin Reeves, comes up and makes a shot. I don't know.
Or even maybe D'Lo gets it in that situation and
although
knocks it
down. I'm glad you brought him up because it's hard to overcome the fact that he is two of ten from three.
He's not very good right now.
So here's what just blows my mind. The Lakers got outscored by 18 points from the three-point line because they're plus six thanks to D'Lo's 2 of 10.
We shot 28%.
Yeah.
So they're 42%.
Okay. It's hard to hang in a game like that, but they did. It still went down to the last shot. And even look at the rebounds.
One of the reasons it went down to the last shot is because we shot 27 free throws.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they shot 9.
The 27-9. That was it. And they did turn it over 13 times to your eight.
Exactly.
Okay, so you were turning them over, which kept you.
Hit our damn free throws, though.
And you missed free throws. Austin Reeves missed a couple when he got fouled on a 3-point shot. LeBron missed a couple.
The recipe was there to beat him.
It was. And so, in the bigger picture of the series, you realize that the Lakers were ahead or tied 75% of the time for 5 games. And for 69% of the 5 games, they actually were leading, not just tied.
Yeah.
In the history of the NBA playoffs, that's never happened to a team that lost a series because it can't. It's like mathematically impossible. Mm-hmm. But it happened. In the end, it came down to the final 5 minutes of those few games. Games 1, 2, and especially 5.
Then we got nothing out of Gabe.
But at the end of the day, listen, we could talk about this all day long, about they led for 75% of the time. They lost 12 out of 13 times to Denver. And it's been the same way every single time.
It has.
Every single regular season, last year in the playoffs, this year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Lakers take the lead fourth quarter. That's why I said, if you don't clearly outplay the Denver Nuggets for 44 minutes, those last 4 minutes, they're going to own you because they know they have Jamal Murray, Joker down the stretch, and if you leave KCP open, he'll hit it. If you leave Michael Porter Jr. open, he'll knock it down. And don't leave Aaron Gordon right there for the lob. I mean, they just a well-oiled machine.
We close, though.
We close. 12 out of 13 is not close.
No, I'm talking about just in general. We if you can get what we got out of this year from our two stars, if we can get that, we close.
They just don't.
We just got to figure out what else around us, man.
Okay, what if Jared Vanderbilt had been healthy for this series? You don't think they could have used him on Jamal's son?
Jared Vanderbilt would have flipped the tide of this series.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Defensively, though, man.
Just defensively. Like 15 minutes.
Talk to me about an impact player. Talk to me about a superstar impacting this game. Don't tell me.
Slowing the guy down.
Who are we going to slow down?
Jamal Murray.
Yeah, he could take him.
No.
You don't think
he don't have a reputation for being an all defensive player?
I don't know.
If we ain't talking about somebody that being an all defensive player of the year, all defense first, second, or third team, then I don't want to hear it. I mean, that's his role on the team, but he ain't one of them guys that we gonna say, year in and year out, you're on an all defensive team.
But we talking about this year. We ain't talking about
matter.
Year
out. Like, you ain't talking about somebody that would have changed the series, and then let's not talk
we
about
we just talking about our help, man. We're talking about getting our depth and our help. That's all. Yeah, we were even, so close.
Even if
we're
he
close.
Was healthy, they not going that deep into the playoff, you know, rotation. They playing eight, nine guys.
But they didn't have Cam Reddish either.
He would be in that spot.
Cam Reddish probably wouldn't have played either.
I don't know.
I mean, you got Torian Prince playing. All right. Hayes probably wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, Paul, I appreciate your T-shirt, the Who's Your Daddy, but I will tell you, I don't believe that Michael Malone, if they win it all at the victory parade this year, I don't think he'll say we're the Lakers' daddy because I don't think he thinks it. I don't think he believes that.
Why not? 12 out of 13? Why wouldn't he think
that? I know,
that?
But these games were
Skip,
like
I beat
down
you 12
to the
out of 13
wire.
Times.
Yeah.
You're my son.
I think he feels fortunate to get out of this one unscathed.
We beat the Lakers 8 out of 9 in the playoffs, 12 out of 13. I wouldn't be shocked if the whole team had them T-shirts on.
Mm.
Well, they act like they won the world championship last night when they closed it out.
Yep. I got a green one for you.
Mm. Okay.
It's your size, too.
Huh. You gotta make sure that y'all get to the championship, though. You got to make sure of that, Paul. Seriously.
This ain't got nothing to do with the championship.
No, it got something to do with it.
This is about Denver being a Lakers daddy.
Well, if you get there and you don't win, then what? They're going to be your damn daddy.
No. This is about Denver is the Lakers daddy.
The Lakers did win the first ever in-season tournament, but then they finished 8th in the West with a 47-35 record. Then, of course, were eliminated in 5 games by the defending champ Nuggets. ESPN reported that Darvin Ham is, quote-unquote, in serious danger of being fired. But, Keyshawn, should he be fired?
You know, you don't ever want to call for somebody's job to be fired. There's a difference between should and would he be fired.
Mm.
There's all sorts of ways you can look at the situation when you say should. Has he made some head-scratching decisions along the way where you were like, man, what the hell is he doing? Yeah, he has. Can you look at the fact that they won the in-season tournament and then turned around and lost 10 of the next 13 games? Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Can you look at the loss of players that potentially could have helped them that they brought in free agency that was shelved the entire season? You can.
Yes, you can.
But it's hard to overlook, and hopefully I'm answering it because it feels like I'm dancing. Mm. It's hard to overlook that you got your star player griping about you as a coach without saying Darvin Ham is, if he gave us better guidance, he didn't need to say that. All he simply said was we have stretches where we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor.
Anthony Davis said that.
Anthony Davis said this the other day about the coaches.
He did.
He didn't say coaches. He didn't identify anybody individually. But simply by saying we have stretches where we don't know. We don't know. So if you don't know, that's because you're not being told and being taught. Or either you stupid and dumb if they're teaching you, one or the other. Right?
Yeah.
That's just what he's saying on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. So when somebody as a player at that magnitude starts to speak out, you only look at it where they're now, gentlemen sweep at 5-1, Western Conference sweep at 4-0, 2 straight play-in years to get into it. We could argue, well, they could have lost to New Orleans on purpose and got Sacramento. Well, why would I get Sacramento? And they just beat us 8 out of the last 9 times. And there's no cakewalk there. We would get bounced. We wouldn't even been in the playoffs. So let's take our medicine early with Denver and go ahead and get this New Orleans thing out the way so we can get Denver and not have to play in 2 play-in games. So you look at last year, you look at this year, you put it all together. It's hard to argue that he's safe or he should be safe based on all of those things that I just laid out.
Yeah.
I think he will be removed of his duties at some point in time here in the next several weeks, so to speak.
Or days.
Or days, for that matter.
Yep. All right.
Now, the big question is, does he deserve to be fired? Nobody deserves to be fired, but they're probably going to fire him. Mm.
Should Darvin Ham be fired? I'm glad you asked.
Oh.
And I think he will. I don't think he should be. Mm. But it's not going to be because of some of the things that Keyshawn brought up. According to the LeBronalytics that I have here, LeBron has had 8 coaches in 21 years. 8 coaches in 21 years. What does that average out to? 2.6. Darvin Ham's on his second year.
He dug deep for this one.
According to the LeBronalytics. So they average about 2.6 years of LeBron. There's a certain pressure that comes with coaching LeBron.
And the only way 2.6 is averaging out because Spoles was maintained.
Look.
He's got some years.
Spo stretched out some of these other coaches.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, he stretched them out.
Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham, Mike Brown, Spo, David Blatt, Ty Lue, Paul Silas, and Brandon Malone. Mm. 8 coaches in 21 years. So this is Darvin Ham's second year. He got about, what, 6 months left by All-Star break? On average, according to the...
So you think he will be allowed to start next year?
I think he'll be allowed to start next year, according to my LeBronalytics. Mm. And understanding the pressure that comes with coaching LeBron. Because whether you... There's championship pressure, of course. But in some cases, Frank Vogel won a championship with him. And he's out of there. You know, he didn't last. It's just that it's... If Clutch doesn't like you or you're not making the right moves... Yeah. It just doesn't matter. That's the pressure of coaching LeBron.
But see, Frank Vogel was gone.
He won a championship.
Yeah, but he was gone when the noise started.
Yeah.
So as soon as the noise started, Vogel was gone. He wasn't gone when he won a championship. When he won a championship.
But what's the window? What kind of window do you get if you win a championship as a coach?
I understand. I get what you're saying.
Did he even get 3 years with the Lakers? He got 2.5?
Yeah, but the noise started.
You know what I'm saying? So,
when that noise starts, you can't...
You just can't...
You can't put it out.
2.5 years, 2.6. That's it. I give him 6 months.
See, I don't think they bring him back.
I give him six months.
I don't think they bring
him
back.
I give him to All-Star week. I give him to January.
It's hard to bring him back.
Why not?
Especially if you bring in LeBron and AD back, right? Because if you bring him back and they start off... Because as everybody says, LeBron, new teams always start off slow. So he's going to have a new team next year. Mm-hmm. He's going to probably have a new team, wouldn't you say?
Who you bring in, though? Because
I look at the big picture with this.
I look at the big picture with this, Skip. I'm like, all right, if you get rid of Darvin Ham again, so like every in 6 years, what's this, the third coach in 6 years? Like you just keep
bringing it'll be the seventh coach.
In 6
years? Oh, it'll be the third.
Since LeBron's been in Lakers.
Yeah, but it'll be seven. If they got rid of him, it'll be the seventh coach in 7 years.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, a fourth coach in 7 years.
So I think I'm with both of you. He will be fired, although I think it'll be sooner than later.
I think it's sooner than later. Because, Skip, you can't. What I was going to say is, you know how they say LeBron's team start off slow when he get the new people around him. If you bring in new pieces, which I think we all agree that there's probably going to be some new faces on this roster, all of a sudden you bring him in again, bring him back. And then you get to November, and they're 2-8. Yeah. And then what you going to do, fire him then? Mm. And now
you're going to somebody on the bench.
Mm. Now, that's how it goes.
Well, my thing is you just can't hire any coach. You got to think big picture. You can't just make such a quick decision on this. There's only certain people that have to have a certain type of personality that you need to coach a guy like somebody he has to respect. Is there anybody out there like that? You know what I'm saying? In the coaching circle now, a guy that's on the sideline. What are they going to bring J.J. Redick in?
If I really wanted to, I'd bring Fizz in. If that was the case.
I like him.
Fizz didn't get a real shot.
And LeBron loves
him. He didn't get a real shot at, was it OKC? No, Memphis. He didn't really real shot. What's the name? Didn't like him. It was all messed up. But I would bring in Fizz.
He was on the bench in Phoenix.
Is he in the Fizz in Phoenix right now? With Spo.
But he was in Phoenix on the bench. Right. But he was with Spo.
Yeah.
He was with Spo and LeBron liked him.
No, that's LeBron.
That would be somebody that I would look at.
All right. But when we get to the question of, does Darvin Ham deserve to be fired? I don't see it because I just watched 9 playoff games against a team that was going to win the championship and has won the championship. Yeah. 9 playoff games, highly competitive in all 9 of them. And it's hard to do that on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. If they had been lifeless and non-competitive, you just say, you got to go. But they weren't. They took them to the bitter end time after time after time. Mm-hmm. But the flashpoint moment for me between LeBron and Darvin happened in the game that they won, game four.
They didn't do the replay?
No, yeah, when he wanted them to challenge. Yeah. And LeBron just threw a fit, if not a tantrum. And I've never seen anything quite like that. Mm-hmm. And that was at Darvin. LeBron would not do that to Coach Spo in Miami. And he definitely wouldn't have done it to Ty Lue in Cleveland. He just wouldn't do it because they have gained his respect. I don't think Darvin has gained LeBron's respect. And to LeBron's credit, he's got such high IQ. I don't think Darvin's able to match him mentally with keeping up, you know, with the game. And you've said he's made a lot of head scratchers. And I think LeBron thinks he's made a lot of head scratchers. So there's somebody better. Listen, Coach Fizz, he is really good at what he does. Well, I didn't think he got a good shot when
this series, if he was watching closely, yeah. LeBron has been agitated by a lot of things toward the bench. I mean, I watch his body language, I watch his moves, I watch his facial expressions. He's been agitated by a lot. The reason I say Darvin Ham is a dead man walking over is because when you have a star player in Anthony Davis, or any star player for that matter, question publicly the game plan or this or that, y'all ain't gonna see eye to eye, man. It's gonna be hard. It's just a hard, because every single time you coaching and you make a decision, you're gonna think, well, he ain't gonna like my decision I'm making.
That is
he ain't gonna do. And so now you roll in the next season, and as I said, what if they get off to a 2-8 start? Mm-hmm. What if they get off to one of them starts?
Now what if they get off to that start with the new coach?
That's different, though. If they get off that start with the new coach, they ain't gonna fire him 10 games, 11, 12 games in. Mm-hmm. With an old coach, they're going to be like, we got to solve this season. Yeah. We got to try to figure this out.
This is championship or nothing with the Lakers. Mm.
That's why I think that championship or nothing, they're not going to waste another year with two coaches because you bring in Darvin Ham and you have to fire him at some point, and now you got onto a second coach. You're wasting LeBron's year and AD's year again. Mm. They're not going to do that. We might as well start with Paul Pierce coaching the team immediately.
I'm really going to start looking to, like, maybe keep Darvin Ham and looking past this regime right here, this team. Maybe start gearing toward the future, toward a rebuild.
Yeah.
You can't.
Why not?
You going to let LeBron James just walk with nothing?
I may start gearing toward a rebuild. Mm. I mean, I can't just keep getting new coaches every 2 years.
Yes, I can.
I can't just.
You know why?
I'm out here giving out 5-year deals, and I'm firing them after two.
That's okay. I got it. I'm making the money. You know why I can keep getting rid of coaches? Because as long as that dude number 23 and that tall drink of water is on the floor and Anthony Davis, we got a shot. Mm. We got a shot.
So I found it interesting. Mike Malone in his postgame last night volunteered how much he respects Darvin Ham and likes him as a human on top of being a really good coach and applauded his staff and went on and on. And his last line was, because that is hard. And what he's saying is, it's hard to coach these people. Right. It's hard, man.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't just keep bringing in new.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they not vibing with you, though, Paul,
It's no guarantee. It's no guarantee.
But AD saying what he's saying is not vibing with
this work. They got to figure out how to make this work, I believe, truthfully. Mm.
Of course, Kevin Durant's Suns got swept in the first round. KD hasn't played in a conference finals since 2018. So since winning those back-to-back finals MVPs with the Warriors in 2017 and 2018, his postseason resume hasn't quite measured up to his superstardom. So, Paul Pierce, how much has KD's legacy been hurt by his last, say, six postseasons?
I'm sure it really been hurt, Skip. You know, he dealt with some injuries down in Brooklyn. This team, first year together with Bradley Beal, I mean, I think we got to wait on this with KD. You know, I think for the most part, it's set in stone. You know, he's shown to be a best player on the best team. Obviously, we're going to have some questions about that move to Golden State. You know, but he got it done. He got two championships. He got an MVP with Oklahoma City. Went to some conference finals with OKC as a young player. One of the greatest scorers that we've ever seen play this game. And it's going to be a, I don't know, I got to look and see, is he going to be a threat to be in the top five all-time scorers of all time as far as total points? Because the rate he's playing at now, he could do this for another 4 or 5 years.
He could.
I mean, with players playing longer, I just remember at 35, I was cooked. You know, we seeing guys at 39, 35, Steph, him, Westbrook, these guys still play at a pretty decent level. And so I don't think it has his legacy needs to be salvaged. I think it's set in stone already. We already recognize him as one of the best ever. Now, you know, it's to one's opinion whether he be a top 25, top 30, top 10, you know, whatever your preference is. But I think it's, his legacy is set in stone already.
I think the only thing that he needs to salvage is that he can win a title
without
Golden State.
Yep.
That's what people are going to try to do to him. I think that's the only... Yeah. If he is trying, which I really wouldn't give a damn, as I've always said, Skip, I left to go to Golden State, I'd have stayed to Golden State. I told him if I had a real issue, because apparently he wanted to leave because of Draymond, but I'd have told him, so, man, you don't get Draymond's ass out of here, I'll stay. I'd just tell him straight up. Yeah. If there was a real issue... Because I'm not leaving Golden State. Why would I leave Clay, Steph, Steve Kerr, and company to go chase? But some people feel the need that they have to prove everything to somebody. He doesn't have to prove anything to me as a basketball fan, analyst, whatever you want to call it. 10-time all-time in points. He'll climb that ladder, obviously. Six all-time points per game. He'll climb that ladder. Okay, he's a final MVP twice. He's a regular season MVP, 4-time scoring champion, as you always mention to me. Well, LeBron James only had one scoring title. Michael has 25, whatever you want to call it. NBA 75th anniversary team. Paul's going to have to bring me in on that, what exactly that means, other than he's really damn good. That's what I do know. And he's 6-time NBA All-First team.
Yep.
That's a lot for a resume.
It's a lot.
How are you going to have to salvage that? The only thing that you salvage is, can I win a championship by myself, so to speak? Because when you have the conversations about great players, we tend to think that Michael Jordan won it all by himself.
Yep.
Whether it's true or not. We tend to think that LeBron James had won his championships by himself. There was no Dwayne Wade. There was no Ray Allen. There was no Chris Bosh. There was no Kyrie, Kevin Love. There was no Anthony Davis. Because championship, superstar, focus, one individual. Magic won his championships by himself, even though he had Showtime. Or, you know what I'm saying? That's why I asked you when MVP.
I think, when y'all won
a championship, I asked you about the MVP because...
I think at the end of the day, you know, his legacy is going to be how he did it. You know, so like you're saying.
Yeah.
But we're in the era to where not a lot of teams are building championships organically. You know, Golden State is the organic, they did it the organic way.
Until they had to go get Kevin.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, but then they showed they can do it before.
Yeah, they won before and after though.
Yeah, so they take
like
that.
San Antonio, they did it the organic way.
They did.
You know, so we're looking at, and for me, when I judge players and their legacies, that has to be something you look at.
See, you
know,
told you, here you go.
You really have to look at that.
He's proving my point.
Like, you know, like you have to look at it with LeBron. You got to look at it with KD. And those are the two biggest examples of this era of, you know, guys who kind of formulated their team to get a chance at a title or orchestrated it, however you want to word it. And so that all comes into factor for me. Now, if you had done it in Brooklyn or if you had done it in Phoenix, it would have meant a little more.
Absolutely.
It would have meant a little more, even though it wasn't organic, but, you know, it would have been away from Golden State, like you said.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been on a team that was already a championship contender. So.
Because even when you think about Kawhi in Toronto, first thing we say is Kawhi. We don't say Lowry and Siakam. We say Kawhi, Skip. Mm. He's the MVP.
Would you
is
put Kawhi over Kevin Durant all time?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Listen, Kevin has done big stuff in this league, in this game. And to your point, you can't tarnish that.
No.
But the answer to this question is, over the last six postseasons, he hasn't helped his legacy. He hasn't helped it. He hasn't done more to where you say, oh, wow, he's now top five all time. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
But what he did do in 17, 18, and don't forget 19, because against Toronto, when he did come in, albeit for a short stint, he was changing the game. It looked like they were about to get back in the series because of him. He came in and made three straight threes, went 3 of 3. And guess what happened? His Achilles tore because his calf was weak already. And that was the end of that deal. But just remember, I never had any problem with Kevin leaving Westbrook in Oklahoma City because I promise you he decided after 9 years with his little brother, Russ, he just wasn't going to win a championship with Russ as his primary decision maker and his point guard.
And I don't have a problem with that either.
And remember, the Golden State contingent, including the owners and the GM, they got on a plane and flew all the way across country on July the 3rd to recruit him out on the tip of Long Island. And they got down on, like, bended knee because LeBron had just shamed them, LeBron and Kyrie, because they had a 3-1 lead. And they realized they're going to have to deal with that beast in Cleveland for the next couple of years. And they were not going to beat LeBron by themselves. So they went and said, Kevin, come basically save us from LeBron. And he said, okay, I'll come. And there was a lot of pressure on Kevin Durant when he went there because the whole NBA world said, oh, now you went and joined forces. Now let's see what you got.
It was just the way it went down.
Out of state, though.
Yeah.
It's just when you should have been that team playing against LeBron that year. OKC.
That's why, because the way
it went down, they were up 3-1. They were up 3-1 on the Golden State Warriors.
They were.
And they didn't close it. It should have been OKC playing LeBron that year in the finals.
Okay.
So now when you lose that series in heartbreaking fashion to the team that goes and plays them.
And loses. 3-1 lead. Yep.
You jump with them now.
No, I'm going to jump with them. I ain't got no problem with
it. All right, but who was the finals MVP? Who took over the finals?
It was Kevin Durant. But people would argue, just because that's what they want to do, that he's only the MVP because you have so much other firepower you had to worry about.
But you watched those games.
I watched them, but I'm just telling you.
He hit the shots.
I'm just telling you what the Kevin Durant haters are going to say.
They're
going to say that because the floor is spread with the guys that they have, he's allowed to now just cook the way he was cooking.
Okay, and very nearly the greatest thing Kevin ever accomplished came in Brooklyn without Kyrie and about half of a James because he's dragging his hamstring around trying to play. And in game 5 against the Milwaukee Bucks, it was a masterpiece. It was 49-17-10. And then in game 7 back at home in Brooklyn, he went for 48-9-6, and he hit that shot with a toe on the line that would have eliminated the Bucks.
They should have just gave him that on the strength.
No, it tied the game. They would have went up 1. Who knows? Milwaukee probably would have made a shot. Yeah.
Just give him that. Just on his strength.
So at the end of the day, it's nothing. He doesn't need to salvage anything.
I don't think he needs to. The only thing
he's had some low moments because your Celtics just swept him and made him
all that. You see how he did that? Real slick like.
I mean, Minnesota just swept him.
Yeah. Okay. So people are gonna say he couldn't do that. I mean, he can't do it by himself like he wanted to. And look, if he'd have stayed OKC, he wouldn't have won the championship because he would have never got through Golden State. That's what people are going to say just because they're going to hate on him. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it. But if I'm Kevin, ain't no way in the world I'd have left that.
Okay.
I don't care what nobody said. Right. Golden State, man, I wouldn't.
No,
I'd have said, give me my $207 million. And then when I'm time to re-up again, going to give me $200-something more million. And me and Steph and Clay, we getting ready to win this. Yeah. And if Draymond don't shut up and sit down, his ass going to be gone too. That's what I'd have did, but, you know.
Right.
I got it.
Who you think they pick? Kevin Durant or Draymond?
We know.
We know.